Today's edition of the Derek Hunter Podcast is brought to you by Life Change Tea.
Why go to getthetea.com? Because this important news could change your life. Socrates made a statement saying that all disease starts in the gut. Take care of your gut, and well, the rest speaks for itself. Life Change Tea is a wonderful way to aid in your digestion. Brew it, steep it, drink it, and feel it go to work. We at Life Change Tea have been around for years helping people just like you feel better. Lots of testimonials and lots of happy people. Log on to getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Getthetea.com.
Alrighty, hello again everyone and welcome to it. It's Friday. We made it. Oh, Frank Danana. We broke the tape. I'm Derek Hunter. It is the Derek Hunter Show. It's the 25th of September, 2020. Friday, mercifully. Got a lot to, well, I want to cover a couple of things really quickly. This is the Friday interview edition, as we do every Friday. Normally it's just me for an hour, sometimes a special guest, but on Fridays we do the interviews. And this is a tradition that started back when the show was associated with the Daily Caller, because they wanted me to come in and do videos once a week, and so we decided to do interviews, since the turnaround time for doing a show like this with cutting in the videos was the video clips was just too long, and it would take literally 8 hours to do it. They're busy doing other things. But now it's I've sort of continued the tradition. Now it's just audio only. So this week's guest is something I wanted to announce it because I was psyched about it, but the scheduling became a bit of a thing. It was going to originally be recorded on Friday, which means I would have had to play it on Monday. But it ended up working because I had to change it a bunch of times, that it happened on Thursday. So it's ready for today. It's Adam Carolla. Yes, Adam Carolla. I've been a huge fan of Adam Carolla since Loveline, actually. And I sound a little suck-uppy, just because I'm a huge fan of Adam Carolla. I've met Adam a couple of times. He'll never remember because he has no reason to remember. But I've met him and interviewed him before. And it always get a little giddy, because, you know, like, I'm getting my own personal Adam Carolla rant. It's just me and my headphones, and I'm getting Adam Carolla rant. Now you all get to hear it. It's trying to inspire a little bit, and I think I managed to do it. He's got his documentary, No Safe Spaces, that he did with Dennis Prager, that is now available on streaming services. It's well worth checking out. It's about free speech and the slow murder of it, and how it might not be so slow anymore. But we talk about the documentary. We talk about his documentaries. He's in No Safe Spaces, but he's actually directing documentaries now that are pretty damn good. I've got Winning the Racing Life of Paul Newman. I met Paul Newman once too. Someday, I've already told the Paul Newman story. Short guy. I towered over him at 6'5", but his eyes hypnotically blue, and he signed a jar of Newman's Own spaghetti sauce for me, which he was drunk, which I still have, which has turned from a normal shade of red for spaghetti sauce to, because I didn't empty it, because I'm an idiot, a normal shade of spaghetti sauce to a deep, luscious, poisonous burgundy, I'm sure, now. But it was very cool to meet him. It's very cool to have Adam on the show. So we will get to the Adam Carolla interview. Got almost 20 minutes with him. He's busy, obviously, doing a lot of promo for the doc and all that. So hopefully we'll be able to get him back in the future. He's working on a documentary on K-Rock, the legendary radio station out in Los Angeles. And when that is done, I'd love to have him back on about it. But I ain't going to bug the guy. One thing I will note is I interviewed him back 5 years ago, something like that, on radio. And I noted his number that they called in, and I entered it in my phone, and it's still the same number. I'd never call the guy, but like Adam Carolla's name comes up on the phone logs, and you're like, yeah, I'm cool. I'm pretty cool. When you got two young kids and you're in the middle of a lockdown, it doesn't take much to make you feel cool. You desperately need to feel cool. As always, tomorrow for the people at patreon.com/Derek Hunter Podcast will be the curse show. And there will be a lot of cursing. Good Lord, there's a lot to curse about this week, isn't there? Isn't there? So, yeah, this peaceful transfer of power non-traversy will likely be one of the topics that is given the linguistic treatment it so desperately deserves. So desperately deserves. So we'll get into that. As usual, though, the Friday interview show, if it doesn't go, it's usually a shorter show, unless we manage to get an hour out of somebody. Didn't get an hour out of Adam, so it's going to be a shorter show. But before we get to that, there's just one thing I want to touch on that I meant to get to yesterday, just ran out of time. And that is, it sort of ties into everything, the audio I played yesterday where Democrats are essentially saying, black people can't be conservatives. If they do, they're Uncle Toms. If they do, they're sellouts. If they do, they're this, they're that, they're the other thing. And it goes back to Joe Biden saying a while ago that, hey, you know, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black. And then having to apologize. And then a week later saying, look, there's a lot of diversity in the Hispanic community and the way they think about things. Not so much, there's none in the black community. No diversity there. They're down the line, Democrats. But in the Hispanic community, very diverse. Well, the veil has been ripped off on Democrats. Not that it ever, it was thin. You could see through it. Like you could see their naked bodies as they were changing, and you didn't want to see it, but you saw it. It was there for the whole world to see in all its disgusting, sweaty, naked, hairy glory. But now they're not pretending. The thin veneer is gone. I played you all that audio yesterday of everybody attacking Daniel Cameron, the attorney general of the state of Kentucky, because he's a black conservative, and no, he's a sellout, and he might be skin folk, but he ain't kin folk. Democrats are really showing you who they are. And in another way Democrats are showing you who they really are is how they have decided to reach out to black voters. Down in Florida, you've got Michael Bloomberg dropping like $12 million to pay a bunch of fines for black and Hispanic criminals who have served their time but don't get their voting rights restored until they've actually made full restitution, meaning paying any fines or fees or whatever the courts have imposed on them. And that tells you that, well, if we just get as many black felons as possible to vote, that will help Democrats. And it also is very racist, many levels. Bloomberg is, of course, a racist, but he's too rich to be bothered by it, and he's a liberal in good standing, so he'll never be called out on it. But another way that the Democrats are trying to reach black voters is even more on the nose racist. They have something, a group called Get Your Booty to the Poll. And yeah, it's not even like an ironic cutesy name about, oh, get your butt to the polls, but we're going to call it booty because we're edgy. No, it comes along with a video. And you can find this, it's at getyourbootytothepoll.com. It is literally a 2.5 minute stripper video. The women whose voices you're about to hear are all strippers. Nothing against strippers. Lord knows I've spent far too much time at a strip club when it was the closest bar to my apartment when I was in college. You have to go to a strip club an awful lot to forge relationships with the bouncer who doesn't charge you cover after a while, and the bartender who doesn't charge you for drinks. That's how often my friends and I were there. It was a good time. It was a good time. Well, I mostly just played the coin operated, it's called Photo Hunt video game on the bar with the bartender, where you have two pictures, the same picture, but you have to spot the five differences. We, as a team, were pretty damn good at that game. So I saved a ton. I didn't have a bunch of money, so I didn't get very many dances. I'm not going to deny that I ever had any. But my friends probably still paying off some credit card debts over those trips back then. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. That the Democrats think that the way to reach black voters is to get a bunch of black strippers dressed in their stripper gear, in their pseudo, is it lingerie or is it a bathing suit or what the hell is it, kind of outfits, shaking their asses. When you hear the music, it's It's ass shaking. They're stripping. They're dancing. They're doing what they do. And you want to make it rain up in there. And then they start talking about you need to get your booty to the pole. Now, it's not just that it's rap music and black strippers trying to get black men to go and vote. What they say in there and the issues that they focus on, it's almost as if they think black men only care about not about getting arrested and getting out of jail, or getting arrested and not being charged, or not having to pay bail. It all seems to have to do with being arrested, which is wildly offensive. Like, no, black people are going to be concerned about the unemployment rate. No black people are going to be bothered at all about the economy. They couldn't care less. National security, not an issue that black people care about. No. They didn't even talk about their vaunted climate change. You know, they talk about the humidity and how it makes strippers sweat. They could have done it in that context. Or a cold front comes through and nipples get hard. But if it's always going to be warm, there won't be erect nipples as often. Or something. They could have done it on the tone of the video that they put together and talked about something else. But no, they just decided that black men are only interested in prison, getting out of prison, not getting arrested, not getting charged, no cash bail, things like that. It is wildly offensive, and it gives you another peek into the mind of how Democrats think about black people, which is wildly racist. Of course it is. They're Democrats. They can't technically be racist because they're Democrats. They are the arbiters of what is and isn't racist. Therefore, they have in perpetuity declared themselves to be above such things, and in no way, shape, or form would they ever be racist. Now, learn your place, black man, and vote for Democrats. I'm not kidding. Listen to the genius strippers from Get Your Booty to the Pole in what they've dubbed a public service announcement.
Get your booty to the pole, 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 yeah.
Did we get your attention? Good.
So, you're really not gonna vote?
You know it's more than just the president on the ballot, right? Check it.
A district attorney decides who to prosecute,
including whether or not to go after dirty cops.
Do you know who elects the DA?
We do, but you don't want to vote.
Can't make it rain if you locked up on some bullshit.
Want trades and coding taught in our schools?
Then vote for the school boards that will prepare us for the job market.
Want to end cash bail?
Well, then vote for the sheriffs and county officials that feel the same way you do.
But you talking about, oh, they gonna pick who they gonna pick, shawty.
Ferguson just elected their first black mayor.
You know how that happened?
It's clear black lives don't matter to some of our current elected officials.
If they matter to you, then don't let other people decide who's gonna run your community.
Get your booty to the pole.
Get your booty to the pole.
Get your booty to the pole.
Get your vote. Stretch.
For information on how and where to vote, as well as resources to find out who's running where you live, go to getyourbootytothepole.com.
Get your booty to the pole. Get your booty to the pole.
You can't make it with your shouting. What? Come on. How is that not offensive? Hey, could you imagine somebody coming up there? Never mind. If a Republican did an ad like that, like, get your ass to the polls. Come on. You want to get laid? You got to get paid. To get paid, you got to get a job. How offensive is this? But Democrats do it. This is the Democratic outreach. Of course, when your candidate is a 77-year-old white guy living like a freaking hermit in his basement, I suppose this is what you get. Well, the black people, they like the rap music, right? And they like shaking buttocks. How about we get a group to play on the name of buttocks and say, get your buttocks to the pole. That's what the kids say these days, right? Right? Come on, man. Come on, man. I mean, the alternative is to really just have that 77-year-old white dude stare at the camera for 30 seconds going, come on, man. If you don't vote for me, you ain't black. Come on, man. We all know that if you vote, you're going to vote for Democrats because you got no diversity of thought in the black community, like I said. So, come on, man. Are you kidding me? Cut the malarkey. I don't mean to get all medieval in my cursing, but cut the malarkey and vote for Joe. Didn't you know that I put a black woman on the ticket? Yeah, she's half black and half Asian, and when we do the Asian PSA, we'll pretend she's only Asian, but still, vote for us. We're not pandering. This is who we are. We're not pretending to be horrible people. We really are horrible racist people. Ah, the Democrats in 2020. You gotta love them. They're a little on the nose in some things, but they really do show you who they are and what they think of you. All you have to do is listen, and then most importantly, believe them. Because they ain't lying. I mean, they lie a lot, but about that, they ain't lying. Okay, I got to tell you a hat tip to our sponsor, Life Change Tea, before we get to Adam Carolla. Yes, you go to getthetea.com. It's the tea that makes you go, keeps you regular, cleans you out, and that allows you to digest more of the nutrition in the food that you eat. It's like a squeegee for your innards. Cleans you. Don't overdo it. Use as directed. And very specific instructions come with the tea. It tastes good, but you don't go, oh, I could use a nice, giant, refreshing cup of... Don't. That's not that kind of tea. You'd want to do it because of the flavor, but you'd end up all day on the bathroom, which would not be good, on the toilet. It's the tea that makes you go. You go to getthetea.com. You pick your flavor. You throw it in the cart. Plus, you check out all the other great products they have there. You enter promo code Derek, D-E-R-E-K, at checkout. You get free fast shipping. You can't beat that deal. It keeps you regular, help cleans you out, makes you feel better, and you end up with more energy, more anger with which to listen to this program. GetTheTea.com. Don't forget promo code Derek at checkout, and don't forget to click apply because it won't work otherwise, and you get free fast shipping, and you'll feel better. Win, win, win. The circle of life continues. Now, without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, I'm very excited to introduce to you a young kid I think has a bright future in this business. The world's most downloaded podcaster ever. He broke 1 billion downloads a long time ago. He's probably well past 2 billion by now. Comedian and man about town, actor, director, all that stuff, Adam Carolla. Okay, we're joined now by one of my personal heroes. I've been listening to the Adam Carolla podcast for 10 years or so, and it's named after him. It's Adam Carolla. How you doing, Adam? Oh, no, thank you for taking the time. I know you're busy and way more important than I am. You got a new, well, it's not a new documentary, but a documentary coming to streaming, No Safe Spaces. I saw this when it was out the first in the theaters in a very limited run, and it's about the battle for free speech. Before we get into the actual movie, one of the things I like to do is I looked up the Rotten Tomatoes score, and I love the disconnect between what the asshole critics say and what the people who watched it say. And this is one of those gaping chasms between the two. The tomato meter has it at 47% with critics, and it's at 99% with audiences. There's only 17 critics who've bothered to review it, and 700 audience members have taken the time to review it. How do you explain that massive of a disconnect?
I think we know that the most progressive people on the planet are movie reviewers. I mean, it's a self-selecting group, and it's been that way for a while. I've noticed this for about a decade. So if you take any movie that has anybody in it who's considered right-leaning, that movie will then suffer, or the subject of it will suffer. But the good news is, it's a two-way street. So if you make a movie about an African-American transgender boy who's being bullied while he struggles with his sexuality, the people will have that at 47 and the critics will have it at 99. So they make up for it. They just make up for it with other movies.
When did it stop going, we're going to actually look at the movie itself and we're going to go, fuck it, I'm taking my politics with me. I'm going to have my popcorn in one hand, my politics in the other hand, and I'm going to filter everything through my politics rather than, is this any good or not?
Well, that's what that group does. That's how they work it. It's been going about, it started about 10 years ago, and it's been gaining steam as the movement gained steam. I did a romantic comedy called The Hammer about that.
Loved it.
Oh, thank you. I did that movie about 13 years ago or so, and that was fresh and you know, still 90% with the people and 80% with the critics, but the chasm wasn't that bad. Then I did a movie 7 or 8 years after that called Road Hard, and that's when I noticed the chasm. The people had it in the high 70s, and the critics had it at 50%, and that's when I realized this thing was growing, this chasm.
I was a producer on Road Hard. I got the signed poster and all that stuff. So
good.
Froze the damn screen to see my name there with a jeweler's loop on it. But it really, how the hell did you, one of the things that I've always admired about you is your first question you ask yourself about a joke is it funny? That should be really the only question that you ask. Maybe somewhere in the back of your head is like, am I going to really hurt somebody deliberately with this crack or whatever? But the first job of a comedian is it funny? And now it's not. Now you get stand-up specials on Netflix where half of it is about how they were raped as a child and they hate men because of it. And it's like, okay, it sucks. It's terrible, but we're supposed to be getting comedy here. It's gone from a setup and a punchline to a speech and an applause line in comedy. What the hell happened?
You know, comedians traditionally are very sensitive people. And in a weird way, even the ones who do all the roasting have the thinnest skin. And so comedians are oftentimes very sensitive as to which way the wind is blowing and what's going on and what people think of them, especially because when you do a set at a comedy club and you tell a joke and people nod and laugh and clap, it feels great. And when they shake their head and fold their arms, it feels like hell. And they've taken that, and I think they've just pushed it from the clubs onto Twitter and onto social media. Everyone wants to feel good. No one wants to be, you know, taken out to the public square and flogged. And comedians are in basically the popularity business. If you think about all of Hollywood, think about comedians, think about actors, even directors, writers, producers, they're basically just running a popularity contest. It's a professional popularity contest. If a movie is popular, it makes money. If a movie is not popular, it loses money. And the same goes for TV shows, and the same goes for stand-up comedians. You are basically a commodity. You are a movie. If you say something that angers people and you're not popular, then you'll lose your ability to earn money.
So do you take a risk then in a movie like No Safe Spaces and your movie, some of your other movies, you're now making more documentaries, and I'm really looking forward to the K-Rock documentary whenever that comes out. But you run risk because you don't care. Not that you don't care, but you're like, it's first and foremost, is it good? Is it funny? Is it smart? Is it right? And everything else be secondary. In Hollywood, that's not the norm, is it? I mean, now we've got the Oscars where we're going to have a 23andMe DNA chart run on the entire crew to find out whether it's diverse enough to qualify to be good enough as a Best Picture nominee.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the kind of affirmative action that's sliding into Hollywood is hurting the product, and it's going to continue to degrade the product. And the most insidious part of the affirmative action, and I don't mean that in a strictly black and white manner, but gay, lesbian, female, you know, transgender, you know, people of color, whatever we're talking about. The problem with that is it waters down the product and it waters down the results. And the biggest thing it does is bring the results into question. It brings it all into question. When you bring it into question, then you are destroying your product. And here's what I mean. You go back to the 70s. Well, you know, I'm making these numbers up, but I actually did check these numbers. You go back to the 70s and 20% of the people watch the Super Bowl and 20% of the people watch the Oscars. Or it's more like 15% of the people watch the Super Bowl and 30% of the people watch the Oscars, right? Wow. Now, 50% of the people watch the Super Bowl and 3% of the people watch the Oscars. Why is that? Why? Well, because the Super Bowl is a pure meritocracy, right? We're not, no one ever goes, oh, I bet that guy's starting because he's black, or I get that guy's, he's a quarterback because his daddy owns the team. There's none of that, right? It's pure, these are the best players on the planet, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what football is. That's a purity. Why do you think the viewers are dropping off for all these award shows? Because they wonder how much of it is graded on a curve. And that has destroyed the product. And that's why the award shows viewership is dropping off.
Yeah, it really is, where you just sit there and you go, well, they're probably, you can watch it, you can kind of go, they're probably going to give it to this person because they play somebody dying of AIDS. And I'm like, okay, you know, and in No Safe Spaces, and kind of for a long time in your podcasting and your comedy, it was talking about how big of lunatics, assholes, college students can be, some college students can be. And we all kind of thought as a society, well, let them have their little shouting of down of Ben Shapiro giving a speech. Wait till they get out into the real world, and then it's going to bitch slap them like a dead fish across the face. But the joke was actually on us, and it's kind of illustrated alarmingly in No Safe Spaces that they came out and they weren't smacked by reality. They jumped on reality and started date raping it and are now changing society. Nothing good can come from this, right?
No. I mean, I don't know. Has it? What has come of this? You know, what are we talking about?
Well, we got rid of Harvey Weinstein, so, I mean, I guess that's
right.
Something. But
yeah, no, nothing. No, by the way, nothing, whether you're reimagining policing or you're reimagining education, or you got to deal with the school to prison pipeline or whatever, nothing ever comes out the other end. It's just talk, talk, and more talk. That's how it works. Because these people want to talk about everything. They don't want to fix things.
Well, you can't run on it if you fix it. Your conversation with Gavin Newsom when he was lieutenant governor, and you talked about the school to prison pipeline. They always want to talk about the prison end. It doesn't exist. But if there is this machine feeding people to prison, children to prison, shouldn't you plug the top of the machine? Shouldn't you stop feeding people into that machine? But they don't want to.
Well, first thing they don't want to do is they don't want school choice, and they don't want vouchers. And they just want to keep saying how broken school is, right? Well, who's running the school? Who are the teachers? What do you do, just hire a bunch of Klansmen to teach civics? Like, what are you calling the teachers? You're calling the teachers racist. Essentially, when you're saying, you know, they discipline young African Americans at a higher rate, you're basically saying they're racist. You're saying school teachers are racist. That's what you're saying. You're also saying, I don't want school choice, but the schools are broken. I have no idea what their answer is with school. And obviously, they have no interest in fixing it. If they wanted young kids, especially young children of color, if they cared like they say they care, like they never stop. There's two things Gavin Newsom never stops talking about, and there's two things Mayor Garcetti in Los Angeles never stopped talking about. Children, 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 future, 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 children, and people of color, children of color, at-risk youth. All right, the people who would benefit the most from school choice are those people that you claim to care about, and you're against school choice, which would make a huge difference in the outcome of these young people of color who didn't have the benefit of this and were born on the wrong side of the track. So obviously you don't care about those people. You care about the teachers union. It's blatantly, it's patently obvious to me. The sad part is you just keep pandering to these people you purport to care about, but obviously you don't, because those people, the brown people and the black people, are the people who overwhelmingly want the school choice. So please spare me your dissertation on a broken school system and how these kids are our future.
Why do you think it is that they continue to get 90% of the vote to those people? You see, I lived in Baltimore for 13 years and then escaped in a hot air balloon. But This year, they're going to be a new mayor. It's going to be another Democrat. It's going to be a different physical body doing the same things that have led to one third of the city's population fleeing in the last 30 years and a murder rate that has skyrocketed. And it's like beating your head against a wall going, well, sooner or later, it's got to fall, right? There has to come a point where you go, shit, this isn't working, doesn't there?
No. Not with certain groups. There just isn't. There's a kind of a pride, and they talk about the pride all the time. And there's way too much talk about the pride. And the pride just means we declared a major. We did it in 1963, and we're going to ride that thing into the ground. It's anything but say I'm wrong. Anything but say maybe I had. It is. It's a foolish pride that just goes, I couldn't have been wrong for the last 50 years. And I'm just going to pull the lever for the Democrats again. It's a pride mixed with a kind of a narcissism, mixed with, frankly, a stupidity. I mean, you can't read graphs. You can't see charts. You can't look at data. You can't see what's going on around you. Mixed with some sort of cockamamie, you know, smear campaign by the Democrats to try to convince all their constituency that people who want school choice, ironically, are racist. And if you vote them in, you're going to have to run serpentine to the mailbox because they're going to be hunting you down.
In the few minutes we have left with you, Adam Carolla, you're a car guy. You have a lot of really nice cars. You like to race vintage Nissans. Your state, 15 years from now, no more internal combustion engines in automobiles. Are you going to start the Adam Carolla Flintstone Car Company, or are you just going to flee California like so many other people?
Well, no one, including the governor, is going to have to worry about people buying electric cars or buying internal combustion fuel cars in 2035. There will be nobody but homeless people here. Homeless and a robot that's a reanimated Barbra Streisand. That'll be the only thing left in California. Everyone is leaving. And by the way, anyone who pays tax is going to be out of here in the next 3 years. It's not Newsom doesn't have to worry about that at all.
I just love rolling blackouts, but let's plug 15 million vehicles into our wonderful electric grid. No Safe Spaces is available on Apple TV, and everywhere fine streaming is sold. Give us a 30-second, 1-minute pitch about why it is so important to spare me from having to do it.
Well, you know, first it's entertaining. First, it's got a lot of comedy. First, it's a good product. So it's not going to be like, well, hold your nose and drink your castor oil. It's good. It's a good professionally made, funny product. And also, it's the kind of thing you should really sit down with your teenage kids and watch as well, because they're in the process of being indoctrinated, and they're not going to get a lot of messages like this anywhere else.
When does the K-Rock documentary come out? Do you have a date yet?
No, I don't have a date yet. We're literally in the midst of working on it as we speak. So I will definitely come back on when it's ready to go.
And last question, just because I know you grew up in that era and that time and listening to K-Rock, and you've talked about it before. Did you see that Go-Go's documentary on Showtime?
I haven't seen it yet. I want to see it because I love those kind of docs.
It's actually pretty good, except the fucking songs will stick in your head for the rest of the day. So just be warned. And now my 3-year-old won't stop dancing to Vacation. So Belinda Carlisle is going to be knee deep in cash for the next decade because of my kids. Adam Carolla, host of the Adam Carolla Show on everywhere podcasts are sold. Thank you so much to the documentary No Safe Spaces. Thanks for your time today, Adam.
Thanks for having me.
There you go, the great Adam Carolla. God, you know, I just pick his brain forever, but he would be annoyed as hell. He was annoyed with the time that we did have, I'm sure. But I enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you enjoy your weekend. And I hope you are a patron at patreon.com/DerekHunterPodcast to get the curse show. Lots of F-bombs and a couple of newly created words, nicknames for people that are not appropriate for polite company. Because Lord knows this freaking week, good God, Darth Vader Ginsburg dies. Democrats freak out over X, Y, and everything. And by the time I get to recording the Curse Show, the Democrats will have freaked out about 15 other things, too. Donald Trump is a dictator. Oh, yeah, why are you free to say that then, asshole? Maybe he's not Hitler, but maybe your proposal to stop him from seizing complete power is very Hitlerian. Maybe. Nah, there's no self-reflection. There are no mirrors in Democratic households. They can't stand the look of themselves. They really catch a glimpse in their eyes into their souls. They see they don't have one. Like vampires. Anyway, we are out of time for today. Since it's the Friday interview show, we're a little short because that's what we do. But I appreciate the hell out of you listening, sharing, telling a friend, spreading the word on social media. You're the only advertising we've got. Only word of mouth. It's just us against the world. There is no corporation behind me. It's me in a basement with a microphone and a dream and a mouth that won't quit. But I'm going to muzzle it for now. I'll be back tomorrow with the Curse Show, patreon.com/Derek Hunter Podcast. Back on Monday with a regular show. Have an awesome weekend. Thank you.
But you talking about, oh, they going to pick who they going to pick, shawty.